Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Badlands Podcast, the only podcast out there that is 100% chiselled and is proudly part of the Chairshot Media Group. I am Mags, and with me today, my podcast wife, Mr. Paul Talley. Paul, how are you? Looking very stressed there, looking like you've rushed your picks.
Yeah, it's been a bit of a last minute revision for this one. But I'm used to that after kind of school and college and uni, so it's no problem. How are you?
Yeah, I'm not too bad. I had my pick sorted weeks ago, because I'm prepared.
Well, you know which topic's coming up and when it's coming up.
That is very true. But this is a topic that we've been looking at doing for such a long time. So I already had my picks in hand, just needed to finish up a little bit of the research. But yeah, let's introduce our guest. And it's someone who, without this guest, this show wouldn't be a thing. None of the podcasts that I've ever been on would be a thing. He's been one of the most supportive and just one of the best people I've had the opportunity to deal with on wrestling Twitter. If it wasn't for him and Chad, I wouldn't have had a network to plow my podcast wares on. It's the one and only Diesel. Diesel, how are you?
I'm doing good. That was a really nice introduction that you gave me there. And I mean, I have to say likewise, if it wasn't for you guys asking questions on our podcast, I mean, we wouldn't even have started a network. So really, should be thanking yourselves.
Yeah, because I do every day, because I'm absolutely awesome. No, but... But honestly, if it wasn't for you guys taking a chance on my idea of a podcast without any kind of not even a pilot episode, I wouldn't have even got as far as I did. And I certainly wouldn't have had the confidence to be with Paul and doing Badlands. So, yeah, this is all down to you and you taking a chance on little old me. So, yeah, I'll always appreciate that.
Likewise.
So, in case someone listening to this show hasn't heard of a View from the Top Rope or doesn't know about Visionaries Global Media, I don't know how they don't, because we literally mention it every single week. But yeah, tell us a little bit how the podcast started, now that kind of manifested into a full blown network.
Well, if you have never listened to View from the Top Rope, like Meg said, what are you doing? Like, seriously, get out there and listen to it. It's a great podcast. It's fan interactive. Like, we ask for your questions, and that's basically all the podcast is. We answer your questions, and it can be about anything. It doesn't have to be about wrestling. We've answered, like, what kind of underwear we wear before, and, like, toiletry questions, and, like, anything. So if you haven't listened to that podcast, get out there. We have a whole backlog of 175 episodes on Visionaries Global Media, where you can find a number of Meg's other podcasts, which I'm sure you've listened to. But, yeah, we started about 3 years ago, and just it kind of manifested into us trying to do segments at first, and then we just did this question thing, and even have a special song for that. And if you don't know it, I'm not going to sing it for you. You have to listen to the podcast. And we wanted other people to come along on the ride, and we started this network to give other people voices. And we're like CM Punk. We're the voice of the voiceless as the network.
Yep. And I remember when you set up a little faction for me and Paul. We were called the Tollygons.
I was pretty proud of myself coming up with that, to be honest.
That was a good one. That was good. I love the way the show evolved, because, like, as you said, it did start off. The question was actually a segment, wasn't it? And then it just spawned out into its own thing, and it's awesome.
Yeah, we had a number of other segments as well. We did pro history or pro wrestling history 101, which I absolutely hated and Chad loved, but I was the one who had to do all the research, and Chad just sat there and listened to me talk for like an hour. And so, yeah, once we went through a whole year of that, we're like, I'm done with this. So
that's kind of that, Paul. Yeah. I do the research for my picks, and he just sits there and just listens, then vetoes.
The research is the killer. I enjoy it once I get into it, but it's finding that energy to start the research.
So, Diesel, you've been on the show previously, way back at the very beginning of Badland. So we already know you're Mount Rushmore, the greatest wrestler. So what we asked from you is who you think have been the best wrestlers of this awful, awful year of 2020, where we've not really had that much good wrestling. Who's been four people who've kind of stood out for you?
This is in no particular order. You just want me to random them all off here? Yeah, I'm going to go with Johnny Gargano. Every match you put him in, he's a star. I love Johnny Gargano, and I will argue with anybody that he's the best wrestler out there today. Also with Kenny Omega, with the year starting out with him being a face with the tag team with Hangman Page, it was good, but I'm really liking his character, the new cleaner that he is right now, and after Full Gear this past weekend, Kenny Omega is still one of the best in the world. And one who hasn't wrestled much in 2020, I'm going to go with Roman Reigns, just because of the reinvention of Roman Reigns, and now he's the head of the table, and it just, like, I can't get enough of this character, and I really like the progression, and, like, I really like what they're doing with it. And last is definitely a wild card, and it might be just because it's fresh in my memory, but I'm going to go with Eddie Kingston. Because if you told me 1 year ago that Eddie Kingston was going to main event a major pay-per-view, I would have been like, you're nuts. I'm not coming on your show.
It's a good job I didn't put that in the DMs. Well, he's had an outstanding few months in AEW. He's literally someone who I never thought would get that chance to be on the big stage, and he's took it and absolutely ran with it. Paul, have you got your four best wrestlers of 2020, or do you want me to go with mine first?
No, I'll go with mine. 2020 has been a weird one. Like you said, there's not been a lot of fantastic wrestling out there, and I haven't been able to watch anywhere near as much wrestling as I'd like to. So thank God there wasn't much out there, because I would have missed it all. So mine's a little bit eclectic. Well, not really. But first one, Drew McIntyre. Mm-hmm. Obviously, first ever British WWE champion. Had that massive WrestleMania moment. Unfortunately, not in front of anyone, but he still had it. And he had a great title run, and losing to Randy Orton, there's no shame in that. So I think it's a really good title run. I think he did us proud, and I think it'll be the first of many. Speaking of, second is Randy Orton. I've just always thought he's Mr. Consistent. I've always been a fan of him, but when he turns it up, he really turns it up. And this year he has done, obviously starting in front of fans with Edge, but the work they were doing, the promo work, was sensational. Then he went, he revived the Legend Killer for a bit, which was a bit of fun. Then obviously feuded with McIntyre and has now become champion. And even found time in the middle there to kind of put over Keith Lee. Mm-hmm. So I think he's had a fantastic year, Randy Orton. Then we'll go over to Japan, and I'm going to pick Shizaki Go. Who's been the GHC heavyweight champion for all of 2020. He's had my favorite match of the year against Fujita, which started with an epic 30-minute stare off, which is just the most insane thing I've ever seen. I've never seen anything like it before. And he's building up to a really big kind of blow-off feud match with his former tag partner Nakajima at the moment. So that's going to be good. And then I think Diesel's changed my mind. For some reason, I didn't put Roman Reigns on here. But Roman Reigns has to be on there because the reinvention of Roman Reigns has been just compelling viewing, even in the last few months it's happened. So
that's a great set of picks. A little bit different to mine, but one that we did kind of agree on is Randy Orton. I think after the Edge comeback at the Rumble, the WrestleMania match, the Keith Lee stuff, and looking to end the year as world champion, I think he has to be on there. Then I've gone with Jon Moxley. I think he's carried AEW's title scene on his back and made that title more and more legitimate after taking it off Chris Jericho. Then I've gone for a wild card of Taichi. I think as someone who's pretty much everyone's go-to comedy guy, joke wrestler, nobody gives him the respect he's due. I think he's really kind of stepped it up this year, pushed into the main picture a little bit, and obviously current tag team champions with Zack Sabre Jr. And then the last one, I couldn't pick between the two, so I've actually gone with them both. It's Bayley and Sasha. I think their storyline this year has been one of the best that WWE have done for a long, long time. Really emotive, really well played by both ladies. And yeah, I couldn't put one on without picking the other as well. So I've brought the rules a little bit and put them both on.
I'm not allowing it. Pick.
That's mean. And out of the two, putting a gun to my head, I'd pick Bayley just because she's had the biggest change in character, and I really was resistant to accepting it. And I have done it. I see her as a really good heel now. So if I were to pick, I'm picking them both, but if I were to pick, Bayley would be just ahead.
Bad luck, Sasha. That's a good four. That's a really good pick.
Five.
It's your boy Rance, aka Ray Cash of the Outsider's Edge. I'm here with my boy Kyle, and I got a question for you, man.
All right, shoot.
What would you say are your four worst, your Mount Rushmore of worst Edge guests?
Ooh, that's a tough one. The Mount Rushmore of worst Edge guests.
It's pretty easy. It should just be two people.
I mean, nah. The three worst guests in the history of the Outsider's Edge are obviously Caleb, Carl, and Mags, right?
Well, I mean, Darren's trash. You know, Darren, and we can't even shout out Paul Talley because he's never been on the damn show.
I mean, but that's good for us.
Speaking of Mount Rushmore, I guess we can shout out the fact that Badlands Podcast, part of the Chairshot Radio Network, check it out. We love the show. Always listen, man. Chairshot family, we're here for you.
100%. If y'all haven't checked it out, you got to do it. And I mean, if Darren were here, we know one thing he would say to my Mount Rushmore, and that is he has
he would veto that shit.
Fat veto for that shit. But he's not here, so I said what I said. You want to come on the show and defend yourself, you know where to find your boys.
If you don't like that, we don't give up.
Fuck. Thanks for listening. Don't forget to check out the Chair Shot.
So, guys, the main topic is one that we on Badlands have been waiting to do for so long. It got brought up a long, long time ago. I think it was by Foul Original. And it's one that instantly I knew what my picks would be. And when Diesel came on, obviously, they have a segment on View from the Top Rope where they talk about WrestleCrate. It made perfect sense. With WrestleCrate, you get a lot of merchandise, sometimes wacky merchandise. And the topic we're going to go with is the Mount Rushmore of wacky or weird merchandise. So, Diesel, what is your first pick on your Mount Rushmore of wacky or weird merchandise?
I just want to preface before I give you my first one. I thought there was a number of ways that I could go about this. I could like do research and find out the wackiest things they ever put out there, but I decided to go with things that I actually physically own. And three of them came from WrestleCrate, and one of them I've gotten as a gift. But the first one I'm going to go with came from WrestleCrate. It was like a coaster. It was a disc coaster that had a picture of the best friends on there. And not only was it a coaster, it had a little slot towards the like edge of it that is also a bottle opener. So not only is it wacky, it's very useful.
Wow. That doesn't sound very multi-useful. It kind of reminds me of one that when I was researching one of my picks, I found others in the same kind of category. And I found a flip-flop, which also has a bottle opener on the bottom of it.
Oh, wow. Who's that? Yeah. Is that, what's his name? Flip-flop boy. What's his name?
No, it wasn't a wrestling one. It was just I think it was a surfing company.
Oh, okay.
So if you're having like beach parties and you want to impress someone, whip off your smelly flip flop and open a beer.
It's a great idea.
Delicious. But yeah, that's a great pick. Paul, do you want to go first on this, or do you want me to go first?
Come on, I'll take it. We'll build up the suspense for what I hope is coming. Right. I'm going to go to 1993. And 1993 saw Hacksaw Jim Duggan, the Nasty Boys, Macho Man Randy Savage, Tatanka, Undertaker, Big Boss Man, and the then WWF champion Bret Hart all come together with Simon Cowell to record WrestleMania, the album. Oh. I own, Diesel, I own this. I own WrestleMania, the album, on cassette tape. And it's just the weirdest listening experience as a wrestling fan. I think you can have even weirder than Jim Johnston's Uncaged, if you've heard that. It was essentially those set of wrestlers cutting promos over backing tracks of slap bass and kind of stock Waterman and Aitken beats. It's really bizarre. Starts off with the WrestleMania theme, which is obviously decent enough. You know, whoa, oh. They used that for years for WrestleMania. When they played it, you knew it was coming. So that was a good track. There's one questionable moment on it, which is, well, two questionable moments, in fact. The fact that the very first line in that song is, "Are you ready for Survivor Series?"
In the song for WrestleMania.
In the song for WrestleMania, the very first line is, "Are you ready for Survivor Series?" And there's a part in there where the Nasty Boys warn the listener that you're going to get nasty stuff down your right down your throats all the way through 1993.
That's weird.
That's disgusting. And as far as I remember, it didn't happen, so it wasn't true either.
So lying as well.
Yeah. But obviously, as good a track that was, is once you go beyond the title track and get into the deep cuts is where the magic happens. I didn't mention as well, but Big Boss Man is great on the WrestleMania track, as he's great in everything. Big Boss Man's line is, "Ever since I was a little bitty boy," little bitty boy. I love that. "I wanted to do one thing and one thing only. That's be a law enforcement officer. Treat other people how you want to be treated. Try to walk the straight and narrow. That's the only way to survive in this life." So
truer words have never been spoken.
I know. But what happened to Big Boss Man? He was so virtuous when singing that line. And as we all know, as we discussed many times, what he went on to do to poor Big Show and Al Snow. He lost his way a bit there. So we go into the deeper cuts. First, we get Hacksaw Jim Duggan, who, again, it doesn't sing. It's more talking. And his one's weird because he kind of just explains his preparation process for a match as if he's talking to, like, Louis Farouk or something. It's not even a promo. It's just he says something like, "The guy, I know the guy's probably trying to make a name against me, so I'm a little bit apprehensive." Bizarre. That's followed by a kind of unremarkable Nasty Boy stomp, which sounds like the Inspector Gadget theme. Bit like that, yeah. Then we have the PS de la Resistance. I can't speak French. Never Been a Right Time to Say Goodbye by Bret the Hitman Hart. And this is a spoken love ballad by Bret the Hitman Hart, complete with like a Pete Waterman vocal group chorus. It's like a Jason Donovan song, but with Bret Hart talking over it. Bret Hart was the WWF champion at this time, and he did this. My favorite line: I know lies will only hurt her, and I could never deceive her in that way, but either way, she'll end up crying.
Oh. Very, very prophetic, considering what happened to him and how he left the WWF.
True, yeah. Next bit.
And Survivor Series 97 happened.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Watch out for Survivor Series. Are you ready for Survivor Series? It was all in there. It was all in there 4 years on.
You think it's like an Illuminati wrestling thing? Simon Cowell knew every angle for the next 10 years. Next was The Undertaker, who just kind of professed sinister growled threats over a really early 90s funky beat, like the theme tune Sister Sister or something. That was an interesting one. And then the whole album is rounded off again by our favorite Big Boss Man, in kind of like a Kenny Loggins-esque, wonderfully kind of homoerotic tune about why he wanted to become a law enforcement officer. All in all, fantastic album. I don't even know why I'm putting it forward. How this ever came to be, I don't know. It's like Simon Cowell's, one of his first projects in music was to create WrestleMania, the album.
And he went on to be one of the richest men in entertainment.
He did. This flopped, and then he found Robson and Jerome.
Yeah.
Wow.
But if you haven't heard WrestleMania, the album, go seek it out. It's just unreal. I've listened to it most of today.
Wow. I'm tempted to veto it because you didn't mention the best WWF song ever, Slam Jam.
The link I found to it today, Slam Jam wasn't on there.
Oh.
It was region locked. It's obviously too good for Britain.
it can stay on. It's an outstanding pick. Diesel, have you got the WrestleMania album?
I didn't even know it existed, to be honest with you. This is a mind-blowing moment for me.
Straight to YouTube after this. It's genius.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Straight onto Spotify.
It reminds me of, do you remember The Simpsons did an album? With, like, Do the Bartman and that.
I think they did a few.
Yeah, that must have been a Simon Cowell project as well. All the beats sounded exactly the same as The Simpsons album.
Just
I also owned. Yeah.
Oh, Paul. I thought you had decent music taste. Clearly, I was very, very much mistaken.
I was like eight. I had a tape around about the same time. I had a tape with Karma Chameleon on loop for like the whole 90 minutes of the tape.
What, even when you flipped the tape over, it just carried on?
Yeah. Yeah. I just recorded Karma Chameleon over and over and over again.
What possessed you? Who hurt you as a child?
I think it was the Nasty Boys.
You get something nasty in your throat.
All through 1993.
But we don't talk about that. We've repressed those memories. So with that note, Diesel, let's go to you for your second pick, sir.
Don't you have to do one?
I'll do mine next. Me and Paul sharing a Mount Rushmore.
We only do two each. We make the guests do all the work.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I got another one. So, speaking of music, in one of the wrestle kits that I got these red earbuds, and they were Rock and Roll Express themed. And, I mean, they were just normal earbuds, but Rock and Roll Express on the case, Rock and Roll Express on the little thing behind the speaker on the earbud. I thought it was really interesting, and actually they came in use because I was actually looking for earbuds the other day ago and found these sitting in my box. So
they sound actually quite awesome. I don't think that's weird at all. My missus is addicted to watching Crane grabbing machine games on YouTube, and one of the accounts she watches, he gets a lot of it. Earbuds. He got some McDonald's one, and they were like a little packet of fries on the back of your ears.
Yeah. She's not here to defend herself, but she's addicted to what?
Do you know like crane grabbing games where you like control a crane and they go down and they grab like a teddy and then
like in the like in the arcades?
Yeah.
Okay.
Are you calling Mrs. Mags a weirdo? Because I will tell her.
Not at all. Not at all. Is she just as addicted to playing them, or just prefers to save her money and watch it?
I don't know. We don't have like an area where we go to play them. She just likes to watch, I suppose.
Fair enough.
Yeah, she's weird. I'll admit that she's a weirdo.
I'm sure she got plenty of secrets about you. What you like to watch on YouTube.
And with that, I'll definitely go to man first pick. Oh, now should I go with the pick that we're all waiting for, or should I leave that and tease it for the end?
Well, I've deliberately not gone for it because so you won't have to worry about me stealing it. Or will you?
I'm not worried.
No, you don't. You don't.
So I'm going to go. I'm going to take us on a trip back to 2002, October the 7th, 2002. And that was the start of one of the most ridiculed wrestling stories of all time. So on Raw of October the 7th, we got a Raw roulette match where the WWE Tag Team Champions Kane and the Hurricane had to defend the belts in a TLC 4-team match against Spark and Bubba Ray Dudley, Christian and Jericho, and Jeff Hardy and Rob Van Dam.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
So prior to the match, Hurricane actually got attacked backstage, meaning that Kane was all on his own in defending those titles. But against the odds, the Big Red Machine was able to pull off the victory. But it was actually interrupted post-match by Triple H and Ric Flair, who revealed as they were the ones who attacked Hurricane. And they also revealed a secret, a dark secret, that Kane was actually a murderer. So then we come to the next week, and Kane reveals details of what happened. He and his girlfriend, Katie Vick, had a little bit too much to drink, and Kane lost control of the wheel. And whilst he survived and was badly hurt, she unfortunately passed away. So we go then to the next episode of Raw, the 21st of October, when we get the most infamous footage in WWE history, when we see Triple H in a Kane mask, having sex with a fake body dressed in a cheerleader outfit in a casket. And if you remember, that episode ended with Kane kidnapping Triple H by throwing him in the boot of his car, with the final words of saying, "Now I'm going to screw you." The WWE writing has been as good as ever. So then we get to the 28th of October, and this storyline had to die a very, very quick death, and that pun was absolutely intended. So Triple H was entering the storyline with Shawn Michaels, and the Katie Vick stuff needed to be wrapped up. So Trips brought the casket and the fake Katie Vick dead body into the ring in an effort to mock Kane. But Hurricane appeared on the ramp, and we got more footage. This time it was a doctor's surgery with a guy in a Triple H mask getting an enema. So this led to a main event of the show of Kane versus Triple H in a casket match, which was won by Kane when Triple H was super kicked by Shawn Michaels, which meant that Kane was able to close the casket and win the match. Now, that, to me, doesn't relate to merchandise that much, but I've actually mentioned the merchandise in that little rundown of the angle. Now, is the merchandise the Kane mask, or is it the Triple H mask? No, obviously it's not. It's the cheerleader costume. So it was a blue and white frilled top and skirt, complete with matching pom-poms. And just to go a bit more weird and to like really cement how awful this was, the guys over at WrestleCrap.com actually bought one of the outfits, and it actually came with a lot more than the skirt, the top, and the pom-pom. So what I've done is I've took what the article that they wrote, and I'm literally going to read it verbatim, because there's no way my words can give this the justice it deserves. So it starts with, I open one of the first baggies, the one that says all sand scribbled on it, apparently by a three-year-old with his first Crayola. And this is what I found. One bra and no less than four pairs of panties. All sand by wrestling's equivalent to the Antichrist, Triple H. So for all those sickos out there, and you know who you are, you will be glad to know that our favourite deceased pom-pom gal was a 36C, even though she looked much smaller on TV. She also had very weird feet, apparently, as the socks included, and there were six pairs of them in the bag. In the next bag, range from stockings that Andre the Giant could have put in both feet to a pair so dinky it wouldn't have fit Sky Lolo's pinky toe. I have no idea who Sky Lolo is, and I assume he has no pinky toe. They also received a certificate of authenticity signed by Linda McMahon. But this is where WrestleCrate outdo themselves. You know what would have been really great? If she had actually signed a pair of the panties. Imagine how much some Linda McMahon signed panties would go for on eBay. The highlight was actually the outfit itself. Oh, it actually looks very well made. Perhaps if I lost 150 pounds and my penis, I could dance around in it. To the delight of no one. As I scattered everything across my floor, I looked at my bounty. One cheerleader outfit, three pom-poms. I dare not even ask how she waved the third one. Four pairs of panties. A bra signed by the worst wrestler of all time, and six pairs of socks. So the first one I'm putting forward is Katie Vick's cheerleader costume, underwear, and socks.
Why so many panties and socks?
Why signed by Triple H? Trips, we need you to sign these panties.
I had no idea where you were going with this at all. I thought we were doing story time with Mags for a minute, but I'd say that's worth it, and you're putting all mine to shame. I can't beat that, so I can only imagine what your next one is.
That's a real. So did WWE? I assume WWE sold that.
WWE,
if it was signed by Linda McMahon.
It was not. The certificate of authenticity was signed by Linda McMahon.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah.
The stuff was signed by Triple H. including the bra and the panties.
So Kane didn't sign any of it.
Obviously not. Maybe he was still hurting. Maybe it was like too raw for him.
Could you get Triple H's enema pipe or whatever it is?
Would you want it?
I'm sure someone would.
But Paul, does that stay on the Mount Rushmore of weird wrestling memorabilia?
Oh, definitely. Absolutely. That's incredible. I can't believe the WWF sold it.
Yeah.
I thought it was from some like weird sicko website or something. The fact that WWE sold it is that's what keeps it on there, definitely.
So let's go to you, Diesel, for your third pick.
I'm just dumbfounded right now. I don't even know.
Diesel's like, I wish I didn't agree to come on this episode now.
A little bit, yeah. But, I mean, I guess I'll keep on chugging along. I got nothing that compares to that. My next one also came out of a wrestling crate, and it was a wrestling fan. It was a little fan you just plugged into your phone, and it just blew air at you.
What's that? That's a little bit of a come down from some sand worn panties from KB.
Well, it's like a good pay per view. Like you have a big match, yeah. The crowd's super invested. You need to like bring them down so you can bring them back up for the main event. That's what you asked me to be on the show for, isn't it?
It's the perfect palate cleanser for the horrific merchandise that we're going to come up with.
Was it shaped like a wrestling fan?
No, I just said wrestling fan on it. So I just,
it wasn't a fan.
Yeah, that's why I thought it was weird. It would have made more sense if it was shaped like a wrestling fan. But no, just a little fan said wrestling fan on it.
Oh, that would have been a good pun.
Yeah, there you go. You guys picked the wrong guest for this episode.
I think we've picked the perfect guest because we get to inform you of this horrific merchandise that you're missing out on, Diesel.
Add these
to your collection.
Yeah. I mean, if not for me, I can get them for Chad. Christmas is coming up.
Mm. Exactly.
He'll like my next pick, believe you me.
Okay.
your next pick as well is obviously the gift. So
it keeps on giving.
The next one is... you're going to call someone out for their gift. So look forward to that one. Do you want my next one?
Go for it.
Okay. Right. I'm going to head to the UK again. And we're going to head past kind of Simon Cowell's big mansion in Surrey, paid for by Leona Lewis's A Moment Like This and Bret Hart's Never Been a Right Time to Say Goodbye. All hits. And instead, we're going to head to the Danbury Mint. Where 100% satisfaction is always guaranteed. Now, the Danbury Mint, for anyone who's not familiar with it, is you usually find it on the back page of your TV guide, if you still buy a TV guide, and they kind of sell all sorts of like celebratory coins and teddy bears and plates, basically celebrating fucking anything that's ever happened. That's remotely interesting. But most freakishly of all, they sell porcelain dolls. And this one is absolutely terrifying. They made a porcelain doll version of The Rock and China, which weren't that bad, but Stone Cold Steve Austin, which is just a horrifying image in itself, if you were to Google it. It cost $110 plus postage and packaging. That Danbury Mint's in the UK, so I guess they had to ship it over to America. But $110. And it's a baby, complete with like a cherubic face, but a Stone Cold Steve Austin scowl. Gold necklace, vest, the Smoking Skull title belt. It's just inexplicable. It's inexplicable. What wrestling fan would buy a porcelain doll of Stone Cold Steve Austin?
They're horrible.
It's terrible. It's terrible. And I'd look at their look at what else they offered. They also offered a Stone Cold Steve Austin celebratory plate. And if you flip the plate over, it's complete with the warning, not for food, may poison food. it didn't even serve the most basic requirement of a plate.
Wow.
But I suppose you could smash it and it'd make the stone cold noise. So that'd be all right.
That one time.
Just one time. You'd cry if you that one time was your porcelain doll of Steve Austin, wouldn't it? If that was the smash. No. I've had a look at their current offerings at the Danbury Mint. They've got a 35th anniversary Doc and Marty McFly teddy bears. If that takes your fancy, at £249. They've got a Celtic FC 9 titles in a row watch for £200.
No.
And they've got you love this one. But a 20th anniversary plaque, coin, and stamp set of Princess Diana. I'm not sure what that's the 20 year anniversary of, because she's been dead for 23. So I don't know what this, maybe 20 years of decomposing. I don't know. But this is so much fun to be had at the Danbury Mint. Oh. Get yourself on Danbury Mint. Wow. And get yourself a celebratory item like a Stone Cold Steve Austin porcelain doll.
Wow. I was all for vetoing it, but I'm not going to, because porcelain dolls are the most horrible thing in the world. You can't sit in a room without it looking at you. No matter where you go, their eyes follow you. So, yeah.
And imagine that was Stone Cold Steve Austin's eyes, like in
just Stone Cold's eyes, just following you around. Yeah, that's it. It's a good pick, and it's staying on. So no veto from me this week, Paul.
Oh, excellent.
So, Diesel, have you got a Stone Cold Steve Austin porcelain doll in your collection?
It's about the only thing I'm missing in my collection. I have a lot of Steve Austin merch, but I'm missing the porcelain doll. And I need one of those plates. And I wonder if if that was the plate Deborah was serving her cookies on.
Probably. Oh, wow. A plate that isn't for food. That makes absolutely no sense. Wow. So, Diesel, let's go to you and round off your Mount Rushmore of weird wrestling merchandise.
Okay, so, my last one is a gift that I actually got last year for Christmas from my future father-in-law. And it was a pair of socks. And I didn't see it coming at all. And they're like black ankle socks. And on the bottom, there's writing. And one sock, it says, "Do not disturb." Has a wrestling ring on. The other one says, "I'm watching wrestling." And it's great because every time like I'm watching wrestling and I'm wearing these socks and my fiance walks in the room, I just kick up my foot. It's a do not disturb. And then I kick up my other foot. I'm watching wrestling. Get out of here.
They sound awesome. I mean, if you do put your feet up on the table, you don't need to kick your socks up. Just
exactly.
Point to them and they're already there. Yep. Brilliant. All yours have not even been weird. They've been actually pretty awesome stuff that I'd actually like to own.
Yes, they're not weird. They're more unusual.
Yeah.
It's basically a great starter kit for just sitting down and watching wrestling. You've got your beer opener, your socks, you've got a fan to keep yourself cool. I was worried when you said he got you some socks and there was some writing on the bottom. It was going to be Triple H's signature.
And one ginormous sock and one really small sock. But yeah, that wrestling, there's absolutely nothing wrong with wrestling socks. I love wrestling socks. Shall we do it, Paul? Shall we go for the reason this show is even a thing?
Don't you dare disappoint me.
So, I'm guessing Diesel has no clue what the pick is going to be. So I'm actually going to try and keep it as low key as I can. So in 2007, a member of the somethingawful.com forums wrote a post reminiscing about a piece of wrestling merch. So somethingawful.com is kind of a website that deals with weird corners of the internet, things like memes, images, stuff like that. Like nothing kind of like really horrific, but just funny stuff that people just post on then. So we get a member called Andrew Miller, and he has this vague memory of seeing an advertisement for some Hulk Hogan themed memorabilia, specifically a pair of trainers or sneakers, as Diesel would call them. But obviously a pair of trainers wouldn't be unique enough to be on this list, so they can't just be regular shoes. These shoes had a very unique feature. So inside the sole of the shoe, there was a drawer, what you could pull out, and you could store little bits of meat in the base of the shoe to keep warm whilst you were on the go. So things like ham or beef jerky, beef jerky, or even a broken up Slim Jim, you could have it all neatly tucked away in the sole of your shoe, ready for when you wanted a tasty and definitely not sweaty feet smelling snack. So Andrew said in the post that he spoke to his friends and his family, but no one remembered the advert or even remembered the shoes. He looked to the internet to help him prove that he wasn't going mental and that he was dreaming up these meat shoes in the early 90s. And he actually even drew a rudimentary example of what he remembered the shoes to look like. So he was mocked quite rightly in this thread by all the other forum members who were calling him crazy, except one member. One user called Happy Go Lumpy. He claimed to be a shoe designer, but he also remembered the product. He asked around his friends in the industry and found that one of them worked on celebrity licensed footwear and sent him a blueprint design with the model number, the description, the release date, and all the details about the materials, colours, dimensions of the shoe. They actually look very similar to an Adidas Superstar, you know, the ones with the shell kind of toe design, but it had two air vents for the meat chamber, a pull-down door so you could pull the drawer out, the drawer that obviously holds the meaty goodness. So this actually sparked this thread into life, and there were quite a few attempts to bring this product into reality. And that's where I found the image of the flip-flop that had a bottle opener on. There's someone also had a MacGyver-style flip-flop that had a lockable safe in the bottom of his sole. But then a user called Dino Zombies Go Raw went into full-on manufacturing mode. So this guy, and I'll send you guys the link to this because it's fucking brilliant. He goes through every part of his process with high-res photos. So he takes an old pair of trainers. He slices a section out of the sole with a Stanley knife that he has lovingly called Stabby. he finishes the job with a hacksaw. Then he makes a draw out of a block of wood, which he bears out with a router. Paints them red and yellow, obviously in honour of the Hulkster, but he was not happy at stopping there. He proceeded to put the shoes on, wear them to his local store, bought some beef jerky, filled up his shoes with his meaty treats, and then walked home. And then once he got home, he ate some of the shoe jerky and said it was both warm and delicious.
What's his name?
He's called Dino Zombies Go Raw.
Dino Zombies Go Raw. He's definitely killed.
So the original poster, Andrew Miller said that he was absolutely blown away by Dino Zombies' efforts and actually honoured him by declaring him a real American. So, yeah, my final pick is the Hulk Hogan meat warming shoes.
It's just so good. It's so good. Oh. I don't even know what to say about it.
Yeah,
would you have a pair?
Definitely. Definitely.
Would you make your own pair now that the plans are out there to do so?
Well, I don't have a stabby. So I need to get the tools first. Question is, what would poison you first? Meat warmed up in the sole of your shoe, or someone called Steve Austin's poisonous plate?
I feel the meat in a shoe would be more of a long term illness. Yeah. I think the poisonous plate would kill you pretty instantly.
It's unreal. I wish I'd known about it at the time, because I would get a pair.
Well, there's nothing stopping you making your own.
Hulk Hogan put his name to some good shit.
I think this beats Pastamania by a long, long way.
Yeah, definitely.
But does it stay on?
Of course it stays on.
It was what this episode was built around. So did anybody have any honourable mentions or any alternates?
Okay. I had the Daniel Bryan bearded cap.
The bearded cap?
Bearded cap. I don't know if you've seen this. So kind of at the height of the Yes movement, at the height of his popularity, obviously Daniel Bryan's merchandise was flying off the shelves. Caps are pretty cool, aren't they? I see you're wearing one there. John Cena wears one. So they thought, we'll make a Daniel Bryan cap. But what to make it Daniel Bryan's cap, we're gonna attach a beard to it. Now, obviously, you'd think, if someone said that to me, I'm thinking, right, has it got like a chin strap that looks like a beard, so you pull it on, and then like a kid can look like Daniel Bryan, can't they? But no, the peak was made of beard.
The peak was beard.
A peak was beard. Brown, like dog hair.
Battered.
Yeah. I mean, it's unreal. And if you think about it, most wrestling fans kind of are already bearded. So if they were to wear that, it would just look like they've got a big circle beard all around their face. Like like a Wookiee or something.
That's actually interesting, because one of my alternates was also a beard related. It was an Eric Young plastic beard from his time in TNA when he was the world champion. TNA released beard merchandise for him, used t-shirts with Fear the Beard and Free the Beard and Angry Beard. But yeah, they brought out a plastic glittery beard that fans could wear. The worst thing about it was that it had no markings that showed it was anything to do with Eric Young. So it would have just literally looked like an idiot wearing a plastic beard in a crowd for no reason whatsoever. yeah. So that was one. I also had the WWE Pizza Prince.
I've seen this, yeah.
Have you seen these, Diesel?
I have too, yeah.
Yeah, where you could stick a disc of edible paintings of wrestlers and they would melt into the cheese of your pizza. Which means you could stretch the face of the likes of The Undertaker, John Cena, and even, weirdly enough, unmasked Kane, who had a very warped face anyway, so who wouldn't want to eat a more deformed piece as the cheese stretches out and you take a bite of Kane watching you. Yeah, so they were my two alternates.
It's insensitive, really, kind of melting Kane, isn't it? Hasn't he been through enough?
Especially with his girl's panties on the market. Wow, this has been everything I thought this episode would be. Diesel, what we need from you now, sir, is a topic for a future guest. What kind of Mount Rushmore would you like to hear about?
Like, I had something, but like I lost it after this episode. My brain hurts from the panties to the shoes. It just, I can't even remember what my original idea was. let's do Mount Rushmore of. I'm going to do a random year. Pay-per-views of 1996. It can be WCW, WWE, WWF at the time, whatever.
I don't think we've ever had that. I think we've had the year we're currently in, but I don't think we've ever had. Yeah, looking at a specific year. I like that.
I just picked a random year.
We've had like wrestling years as well, where people have like said which has been their favorite year in wrestling. But yeah, that's a really good idea to have a pay-per-views of a certain year. Great topic, Diesel. Where can all the Badlands listeners find you? Where can they find View from the Top Rope and Visionaries Global Media?
Yes, you can follow me on Twitter at Diesel_VFTR. You can follow our podcast, View from the Top Rope, at View from Top Rope. You can send in your podcast to visionariesglobalmedia@gmail.com, and we'll get them reviewed, and it's like almost a sure thing you'll be added to the network. Just ask Max. How difficult of a process is it?
It's not difficult at all, but in saying that, absolutely, if you've got an idea for a podcast and you need a home for it, there's not many better places to be than Visionaries Global Media. The support that I get from there on a daily basis is unreal. These guys are absolutely awesome and some of the best people I've ever met on wrestling Twitter. So, yeah, definitely get involved with them. Definitely go and check out their content. It's way more classy than our stuff.
I wouldn't go that far.
Mr. Tolley. Your time.
My time. Should I give him the six? Oh, sorry. Oh, frog in my throat. I've been getting too good at this outro, so my body's physically stopping me from doing it now. Should I give him the six commandments?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. So first off, head over to Twitter. Give us a follow at Dej Kirkby. That's at D-E-J Kirkby and at Rain Counter. Give us a follow. We'll follow you back and let us know kind of. There must be so much crazy merch out there that we haven't touched upon and we don't know about. So drop us a tweet telling us about all the good stuff we missed. Then once you've done that, head over to your favorite podcast provider and hit subscribe on Visionaries Global Media, on Shooting the Sports Ish, on Five Nerds Go, and of course on Cheershot Media Group, and across those channels you'll find all sorts of varied podcasts, both with me on, with Darren on, and from loads of other brilliant content creators as well, like Diesel here, View from the Top Rope. Loads of good stuff to keep you entertained for the rest of your life, basically. And you can find all your hard-hitting pro wrestling news and opinion over at thechairshot.com. Well, I'm off to go tuck into some meat that's been cooking in my shoe and listen to WrestleMania the album.
what a way to end it now.
Always use your head.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.